So just to begin opening with prayer, of course. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your love and your kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your grace that has covered humanity all these thousands of years, Lord God. That's why we're here, because of your grace, Lord God. And we thank you for it today, Lord God. We ask that you would again bless us. Send your Holy Spirit to come and move in us and work in us in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that we would press in even harder to your will and your way. Lord God, that we would take in your bread of life like never before, Lord God. It is our necessary and our eternal food and our sustenance, Lord God. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just one announcement. As you know, today is potfaith dinner, so we're looking forward to all of you guys coming over and, you know, just enjoying with us. If you don't have anything to bring, please just come, you know, and just enjoy with us. You know, we always have plenty of food to share with everybody, and it's just a nice time for us to fellowship, as I always say, famiship, for the family of God to get together. I'm just, you know, the Lord has just really impressed on me how precious you are, the children of the living God. You know, you're royalty. You know, you're kings and queens, you know, before God. And I just want you to know that. And it is just my honor, my privilege to, you know, to host the Sunday dinners and to have you all over. It's just, it blesses my home for you to come. And I know it seems like I'm kind of selfish. Somebody asked me about having it at their house one time. But my big issue is my son. I just have to have a place for my son. That's why I have it at my house all the time. So if you guys will bear with me. So anyway, we're going to get into our lesson today as we're finishing up the Bread of Life, Part 2, Hallowing This Name. And just to review last week, some of the things we talked about as far as holding sacred his name, the Bread of Life. We talked about holding on to this bread. We talked about the scripture from John 12, 24 through 25 that says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And just talking about how Jesus was teaching them about the bread, the seed first must fall to the ground and it must die, you know, and that's what that bread of life does. That process of the bread of life is our falling, that seed that he places in us, and it's falling to the earth and it has to die. And then as it dies, we die to our old ways of living and we spring forth in new life in Christ and we bear fruit. And that's where that bread comes in. That bread feeds that seed so that that seed can bring forth what it's supposed to bring forth. You were never designed just to accept Jesus Christ and just sit stagnant. You were designed to grow and to prosper in him, to come out of the lobby, as I said, of the house of God, and come on into the dining room, sit at the table and partake and enjoy and grow and be sustained. It was never meant for you just to be at the front door looking out the window at the world. It was for us to just really move into a new life. So you have to fall and you have to die and you have to grow up in Christ. And we commented on what the Apostle Paul said about his own life and his own salvation. He said, I die daily. I face death and die to self. And that's from 1 Corinthians 15:31. And we must do the same as we hold sacred his name, the bread of life. It is about a dying process. As I said, as I told you all before, this lesson is very serious. You know, this is something that you take yourself to the examination table before God and find out if you are taking in his bread of life. And if you've heard it, I know you've heard it, but are you taking it in? Are you really making it a part of your life? So as we move on, we're moving on. I don't know what page number it is on your notes because my notes are different. But it's the point that says, as we hold sacred Christ's name, the bread of life, we must hold to the truth that he is the ultimate life over all things. It is he who has the keys and control over death and the realm of the dead. It is he that stands at the entrance to eternal life for all humanity. No one else, no other being has that positioning, only Christ, the bread of life. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, it records this. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, absolute deity, the Son of God, and the ever-living one, living in and beyond all time and space. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of absolute control and victory over death and of Hades, the realm of the dead." And this is from Revelation 1, 17, 18. That's the Amplified, which I love because it breaks it down for us so beautifully. So we understand that the bread of life sustains us even after we die. The bread of life is eternal. That's the point we're trying to push to you and get you to understand, because you are not staying here. You know, we gave the example a few weeks ago about setting up house in an airport. Why are you setting up house in an airport when you're not staying there? It's just a waiting place. So I want you to have that same mindset when it comes to this planet. You know, yes, they have chairs. Yes, you need a home. You need a place to park for a while. Yes, but you're not home yet, and you have to keep that in mind. The clock is ticking. As I said, with every gray hair pops out on my head, I know the clock is ticking, you know, and I'm leaving here one day. I'm not staying here, you know. I'm leaving here, and I love that God put an internal clock in us. So we know, man, when those bodies, the bodies are aching, I can't do what I used to do in my 20s. You know, I can't. I just feel my body changing. And it's because the clock is ticking. And I have to understand that if I'm not taking in the eternal bread, amen, then I'm starving. And I won't be prepared when I transition out of here, which is inevitable. It is going to happen. You are transitioning out of here. One way or another, you're leaving here. Whether you know Jesus Christ or not, you're leaving here. So you just want to be ready and prepared. Just like in the airport, you've got your ticket ready. You know, you are ready. Your suitcase is packed. You got your roller bag is ready, and you are ready to get on that plane. You can't be running home to go pack your suitcase when they call for boarding on the flight. No, you've got to be ready to go. And that's the way it will be in the day of the Lord. You've got to be ready to go. You have eaten your bread. You're ready to go. In fact, we talked about in weeks past how that bread within you, he is the bread of life. It connects you to him. He knows who those that are his. He knows his own. No, you know, people say fake it till you make it. You know, you can't fake anything with Jesus. He already knows you. He knows who is his and who isn't his, who is faking it and who really has relationship. He knows. So you're not kidding anybody. You might be able to fool me, but you will never fool him. Amen. He knows those that are his. So we want to be serious about this. I said, this is a serious lesson. This is not something that we just let roll off our backs, but we got to see, am I feeding at his table? Am I taking in his bread? The next point in your lesson, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, to him I will give the privilege of eating some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows except the one who receives it. And that's Revelation 2:17. And we're going to park here for a minute on this scripture right here. As Pastor Steve says, let's sit and unpack this for a while. So let's unpack this and let's look at this. When you take in the bread, you can hear him better. You know, that's why, you know, he's talking about the bread, and he's talking about he who has an ear, let him hear. Because when you're taking in his bread, you can hear him. Trust me, you can hear. You know, sometimes we oh, that's just my conscience. Oh, where did that thought come up? Oh, you know, I just remembered. You know, folks, often that is Christ talking to you. Have you ever remembered something that you needed to remember and it was critical? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We don't give the Holy Spirit the credit for all he does during the day. We just take it for granted that, I'm glad I remembered that. I'm glad I did that. And often it's the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, as you press into the bread of life, into his word, into prayer, you would hear him more clearly. You'll hear him more clearly when he comes to talk about you and the things of you, because those are the really things we don't want to hear. You know, I don't mind you talking about, you know, Kathy and Mary and Linda and everybody else, but don't start talking about Karen and my issues. But as you get closer to him and start pressing into prayer, he starts talking to you. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You are the church. So what the Spirit is saying to Karen. You know, and it's interesting because right behind that, he said, to him who overcomes. Because I am telling you things that you need to hear. But the other part of that is that when you hear it, and I've given you my Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to overcome. But it is a choice that you have to make. You have a, you know, that bread is sitting there. He's placed that bread before you and told you what that bread was about. But the choice is yours whether you're going to take it in. Hear the bread. Couple with the Holy Spirit so you can overcome. So that bread is about you overcoming your issues and yourself and your sin. And the stuff that you just, you know, we don't want to deal with. But he says that he that overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, to him I will give the privilege of eating some of the hidden manna. We're going to get in the hidden manna in just a minute. But you want to become intimate with Christ. You become intimate with Christ as you take in his bread. You come to the place where he gives you his hidden manna. You know, you come to a place where everything else doesn't matter anymore. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think of me. Yes, I did that. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm going to tell you, if you ask, I'm going to tell you what I did. Yes, I did that. And I'm sorry. And I'm at a place now where I can apologize. Before, I was so built up in pride, I couldn't overcome my lying because I was so built up in pride. But now you get to a point where you're so intimate with Christ that none of that even matters. I just want to get close to Christ, and I can't have anything between my soul and my Savior. Amen. Nothing between my soul and my Savior that I don't care what you think. I don't care if I don't get what I want to get because I was living a lie or I wanted the lie. I don't care about it anymore because all I want is my Christ. And that's what happens when you start taking in that bread. You get intimate with him. And he can tell you these deep things, you know. And he always starts with you. He's not going to be telling you the deep things of other people. He's going to tell you the deep things of you.
Amen.
Because we need to deal with you first, you know. So he'll start talking to you about you. You become intimate with him. You know, he is the bridegroom. He is the one that you're married to. You get intimate. He knows these things, and you have this dialogue going on with him, and it's beautiful. And you come to the place where he's ready to give you the hidden manna or the things that are revealed only to those close to him. See, some people want to know the deep things of God and wants to know the big revelation and want to know all of this, but they're not ready to take in the bread and become intimate. You know, Jesus is not going to tell you the deep things of God when you can't even deal with your own stuff and your own sin and you reject anything he's trying to tell you. You know, if you work for the U.S. government, you have to go through a process before you work for the Secret Service. Before you go into the intimate and delicate parts of the nation's government, you got to go through a process. And if you can't make it through the process, guess what? They're not going to be telling you the national secrets. They're not going to be telling you stuff. Because they know that you would not be loyal to it. You will not be faithful to it. You would betray us. Jesus, he's like, first, come. Let us reason. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You know, and then the hidden manna comes. Where he starts revealing things to you. And it's amazing when he starts revealing stuff to you because you see the world totally different. You see the world so differently. You see people differently. Why? Because now I can reveal to you the hidden manna, the hidden bread, that you're ready for it now. And I can give you some things and I can show you some things. And you're like, oh my God, I never realized. You'll read the same scripture that you have read since you were a child, and he will show you something totally different in that scripture. The hidden manna, the revelation, the revealing of the deep things of God. And I'm telling you, it is so precious. It is so precious. It is addicting. You want more and more of it because I see the world better now. I see the world through the eyes of Christ, and it has changed me. And you become addicted. You want more and more and more of it. You have a peace of God that passes all understanding. People won't even understand why you are the way you are. Why are you so peaceful? Why aren't you upset? Didn't you hear what happened? Didn't this happen? Blah, blah, blah. This going on and on and on. Did you hear what happened in Charlotte, North Carolina? Blah, blah, blah. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? And they don't even see. Christ, see, the hidden manna shows you what's really going on. You know, we see humans. Oh, he drove the car right into the car. Oh, how terrible he is. How this. And you totally miss the spiritual warfare. And therefore, you don't even know what to do except talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and pour more gasoline on an already raging fire. But when you have the hidden manna, Christ shows you the spiritual aspects of what is happening. What is happening in our earth. He shows you the spirit, the demons of strife, the hordes of hell that are on assignment to destroy humanity. Satan hates all of us. He hates all of us. He hates everything that God loves, and that includes all humanity. Whether you know Christ or not, God loves you. Therefore, Satan hates you. And you miss the whole picture of what's happening. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities. You're wrestling against powers. I know you've heard that scripture. But when you hear these tragedies, you don't see it. You just, oh my God, I can't believe. Instead of, Lord, Jesus, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come, that you would bind up the spirit of strife that's coming to destroy this nation, that you would bind up. You know how to pray now because Jesus Christ has shown you now the hidden manna. So that's what we're talking about. That's why this is a serious lesson, because so many of the children of God are not taking in the bread. As I said, they've accepted Christ. They're just hanging out in the lobby of the house. Won't come to the dining table. Just hanging out in the lobby. Looking out the window at the world. Seeing the, you know, maybe I can go eat over there. Maybe I can eat over here. Instead of coming into the house where you can grow and you're finding wisdom. And he's showing you what is happening in your world. Our earth. This is our earth. This is our world. And we have to be about our Father's business. Amen. If we are going to make it. If this world is going to be won, we have got to take in the bread. We can't keep playing church. We've got to be the church with all of its glory, with all of its power. So again, this hidden man is only going to come. I love this scripture, the way it was broken, the way it was put together. First, that overcoming piece. And then I can show you give you the hidden manna. I can reveal to you the deep things of God. So you can do what you need to do. The next point on your lesson says, as we hold him sacred as our bread of life and hold to his life over our own, we overcome the challenges of this world. As we overcome, he gives us the hidden bread or manna, and it establishes a deeper connection with Christ that changes us from within, and we are renamed or redesignated. See, you don't even know you don't even know what you're about. You don't even know what your purpose is. I know you're walking the earth, and I know you see all these things that you can do and all these things. Well, I think I'm going to be that. I'm going to be this. But do you really know what your name is, what your designation is in Christ? See, the hidden manna shows you that, what you're supposed to be doing, instead of just doing and being and just around doing everything. This new name is engraved on a white stone by the finger of God, denoting a permanence that no one can change. Okay, he's writing your name on a white stone, engraving it. And it's a new name that no one can change. As I said, I don't want to meet a stranger in heaven. I don't want to meet Jesus and, you know, be asked, hey, is that Jesus? You know, hey, is that him? No, that's Gabriel. Jesus is... I want to know him. You know? I want to know. I'm like, oh, yes, that's the one that I've been having conversation with. That's the one. As he writes my new name on there, because he knows me and I know him. He knows my real name. Even I don't know what it is. Only the one who created me knows my real name. That's why it's talking about a new name, because Jesus knows your real name, because he created you. And his name matches what he created you to be. You know, my parents named me Karen, but Jesus knows my real name. Amen. You know, I remember that book we talked about weeks ago, Hinds Feet on High Places. And some of you have read that book, and her name was Much Afraid on the Earth. Which she, Much Afraid, that was her name, Much Afraid. Because that's the way she lived, all just timid and afraid of everything, and just tormented by people, and just fearful. And then one day the shepherd called her to the high places. He told her, one day I'm coming and I'm going to call you to the high places. And then that day came and she had the courage to step out of her house, trembling in fear, but she went up with the Savior to the high places. And I believe when she got to that high place, he renamed her Grace and Glory. Grace, I saw Grace and Glory. I was like, Lord Jesus, aren't we all like that? You know, we have these designations on earth, but he knows your real name. And he's going to write it in a stone, amen, indicating permanence. Nobody's going to take an eraser and erase that name, because once he's written it, oh, it's done. And nobody can remove it or take it away. The scriptures teach us that no one knows or can understand our new name, for it was established in the deep, intimate place where we dined on the hidden bread from our Lord. From our Lord and with our Lord. You know, sometimes we want things from Christ. Please do this for me and do that for me and do this for me. We want things from him, but we don't want to spend time with him. You understand? That's not relationship. Just to be taking stuff from somebody. Just taking. You ever have relations like that? Every time somebody calls, all they want, they just want something. You know? Never pour back in, never spend time with you. You know, sometimes we feel like that about our kids, but I know they love us. They're just going through a phase. They really love mom and dad. But but sometimes we do our Lord like that. Give me. That's all your prayers are about. Give me. But you don't spend time with him. Lord, just speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, the song says. Oh, give me the words, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I didn't come to ask for anything. I just want to be in your presence, Lord God. Would you just wrap me in your presence? I just want to hang out with you for a while. You know, I just want to sit here and just bask in who you are. You know, again, that's relationship, you know. Sometimes you see old married couples. I just love to see old married couples. I mean, they already know each other's thoughts. You know, they just sit there and they're just comfortable. Don't have to say a word. They're just comfortable with each other because they just have that type of relationship. We just like being together. We don't have to have a bunch of hoopla. We just like being together. See, that's what Jesus wants. He said, I just want you to like being with me, not always be about what you can take or give me, but do you like just hanging out with him? You know, I understand now what the Apostle Paul says, and I don't knock marriage or anything like that, you know, but I understand what he means by he would rather remain single because he wanted to just spend time with Christ. He just wanted all that. He said it was better that I, because I, you know, I just like hanging out with him, you know, and I don't want anything to get in the way of that. You know, some of you all know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. You're single and you just fine. He said, aren't you lonely? Don't you, you know, maybe I can hook you up with my cousin, you know. And I said, I'm fine, I'm cool. I'm fine, okay? Let God do it, don't you do it, okay?
There you go.
Amen. But there are deep things, you know, there are things in the hidden bread. So he gives you a new name that's special between you and him that he engraves on a stone. There are deep things, folks, deep things, deep healings,
hallelujah,
deep restorations that only Christ can bring directly to a soul. These things cannot be communicated with words. They are only communicated by the Spirit to your spirit.
Amen.
You know, there are some things that have no words. There is some pain that there are no words for certain pain. There are no words. I remember on 9/11, when I think it was Dan Rather that was watching the towers come down. And this news commentator that talks and talks and talks made this comment. He said, there are no words. And he was right. The tragedy and the seeing all those people die in an instant. He said, there are no words. You know, sometimes we can have a pain and a sorrow that there are no words. I can't communicate to you my pain. I can't communicate to you how far I fell. I can't even say it out loud because it's too agonizing. And that's when your spirit talks to his spirit. That's when the deep things call unto him. That's where the hidden bread from the Lord does some healing. You know, spirit to spirit. You know, he has healed me, and I haven't said a certain word. Healed me emotionally, and I did not even say a word. Just healed me, and I was better. Yesterday, I was in sorrow, and I was grieving. And today, the next day, I was better. And I know he did it, because only he could have lifted it, because there were no words. That, you know, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you understand? Sometimes there are just deep things that cannot be communicated, but are only communicated by your spirit, to his spirit. But we have to, again, that's why we press in for the hidden bread. We press in for that manna so that we can feel those things. I understand now the old church mothers and how they used to groan in prayer. You know, they would just sit there and they would just be groaning. It was like they would just be groaning prayer. And, you know, and I'm like, I was too young to understand what that was all about. But I believe it was that they were just praying that bread that was in them. Spirit to spirit. You know, sometimes I see people, they're praying. They may just be rocking back and forth. They're totally silent. But there's a groaning that's going on in them. You know, and you can see it by their countenance and by their presence that they are just laying before God and just,
hallelujah.
Lord, only you can fix this.
Amen.
Only you can fix it. The next one on your lesson says, it is your choice to take the Lord's bread as your portion in this world. There are and will be many portions presented to you. There will be many things that call you to eat and dine. The apparent dainties that are everywhere, calling you to consume them. Therefore, you must make a choice for the Lord's bread. So you have to make a choice, and we talked about this before. There are many tables laid out in this world that you can dine at. And I'm telling you, wherever you're dining, that's where you're going to be loyal. Wherever you're getting your food, you know, that's the way animals are, that's where dogs are, cats are, you know, if you feed them, they're going to be coming back. They're loyal. We're the same way. Who's ever feeding us? Wherever we're choosing to dine, that's where we're going to find our loyalties. So you must make a choice for the Lord's bread. The psalmist said, this is Psalm 119:57. It says, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. He made this declaration. You are my portion. You are what I'm going to consume. I'm promising to keep your words. Psalm 16:5 says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance, my cup. He is all I need. You support my lot. Oh, this is the heart of David. Don't you just love his heart? I love his heart. You know, he had the intimate time with God, and he could declare these things. You are my inheritance. I don't care what other people have promised me, because people can promise me something today, and tomorrow it falls apart. That's the people that used to work at Enron and all these other companies that have fallen apart. Oh, there's where my inheritance is. That is where I'm casting my lots. I'm putting my investment here. But the wisdom of David speaks out and says, the Lord is my portion, is the portion of my inheritance. He is my cup. He is all I need. You support my lot. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of what concerns you. He will take care of your family if you are dining at his table.
Yes.
He takes care of all of that. I'm a witness, folks. I am a witness. Because some things that happened in my life, it should never have happened. I should have crashed and burned long time ago without recovery. And here I stand. And all I can say is that the Lord was my portion. He was my lot. He took care of me when I should have been done for. It should have been the end of me. But yet he took care of me and my family. And I've told you guys some of my testimony, some of my story. But I look back and I'm just like, my heart is overwhelmed sometimes when I think about all he did. Because he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that, but he was right there, and he took care of me. And he didn't just let me get by. He took care of me in good fashion, folks.
Amen.
Oh, he treated me like his princess, like his royalty. He took care of me good fashion. And I thank him for that. I mean, I was happy with just Lord, just let me have a roof over my head. Let me just feed the children. Let me just, Jesus, just let me make the ends meet, please. And he did exceedingly abundantly above what I could have ever asked. He'll do that. I'm telling you, his word is true. And if you say, well, it didn't happen for me, I'm telling you, keep dining at the table.
Right.
You know, because, you know, keep dining at the table. It didn't happen overnight because Jesus is watching to see if you're going to keep dining at the table. Or if you're going to be sitting at this table and then reaching over here. You get a roll from over here. And then come. He's looking to see. So keep dining at the table. Don't be reaching for a chicken leg over on the other table. But keep dining at the table of the Lord, and I tell you, he is faithful, I promise. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. So you must decide, beloved, you are his beloved. You must decide, beloved, where you will dine and what you will consume. He leaves it up to you. You know, we're going to get into the next lesson, and you know, some of the lessons coming up, we're going to get in the Bright Morning Star, but one thing the Lord showed me about love has to have freedom. Love has to have free choice. That's why he gave us free choice, because without free choice, there's no love. So he gave us the choice to choose him, to choose his table. So again, this is a serious matter, because it determines everything. And if you're dining on the bread from someplace else, you're already on your way away from him. If you're dining elsewhere, you're already on your way away from him. So again, thorough, honest examination before the Lord. The next point on your lesson says, but you disowned and denied the holy and righteous one and asked for the pardon of a murderer to be granted to you. But you killed the prince, author, originator, source of life, whom God raised bodily from the dead. To this fact, we are witnesses, for we have seen the risen Christ. And this is from Acts 3, 14 through 15. In this setting, Peter confronts the people about how they treated Christ, the Prince of Life. They rejected life or Christ and instead embraced a murderer, Barabbas, into their lives and into their communities. And that's noted in Matthew 27:16. You know, so it happens. Sadly, people will reject good, fresh, healthy bread and choose old, moldy bread to their own detriment. They do it every day, taking all kind of stuff into their life. Relationships that are toxic, and they will still take it into their life. Things that hurt them and harm them and their families, and they still do it. They'll take in the moldy bread, full of fungus and bacteria, but they'll take it in when Christ offers you fresh, healthy, aromatic bread. You ever smell the bread baking? Oh my goodness, there's nothing like the smell of fresh bread baking. It just fills the whole place and you just want a piece immediately. That's what Christ offers. But you find the old moldy bread sitting on the corner of the floor. You know, cockroaches crawling all over it, and that's what you'll pick up. And I just want to paint a picture, because that's what we do. That's what we do. We pick up that filth and we bring it into our lives.
Amen.
Over what Christ offers. You know, you can call me what you want. You can call me a holy roller. You can call me what you want. But I'm telling you, as the scripture says, the enemy of this world has people blinded. They are blinded. I'm like, because you look at me and you're like, why would you do that? Or as my mother says, I got to quote my mom. My mom says, you know, the devil makes people stupid. I love that line. That's my mother's line. And I'm like, she's so true. Because she would look at somebody doing something. She goes, you know, the devil makes people stupid. And it does. He does. Haven't you ever looked at people like, why in the world would you do that? Because they're taking up the moldy bread. And they're consuming it. And bringing it into their not just their own life, but the lives of the loved ones around them, the families that depend on them. They bring it into their lives too. And everybody is poisoned. So again, guys, we just like they did back in this day, they chose Barabbas, a murderer, to come back into their community over Christ, the Lord. Even though God the Father confirmed through the miracles of Christ that he was the chosen one, the Messiah, they still rejected him to embrace death. Are we doing the same when we fail to hold sacred the bread of life in our lives over the decay of this world? I'm telling you guys, this world is passing away.
Oh yeah.
I keep telling you, you can't pray away the book of Revelation.
Right.
It's coming to pass. Okay, you can pray God's word however you want, but don't try and say, oh, Lord, we just pray away the judgment of this earth. I pray away. The book of Revelation is coming to pass, even as we speak. You see it in the news. Somebody gave me an article a few weeks ago about the chip that's being implanted into workers in the United States.
Yeah.
So that they can check into work instead of clocking in, they just go and they have a chip implanted in them. They're already doing it overseas. Somebody gave an article. There's a company that's doing it now with their employees, that they have a chip implanted. Everything the Bible talked about. I mean, this ancient book written thousands of years ago is talking about what's going on in 2017. The mark.
Yeah.
The mark.
Yeah.
Well, it's here, folks.
Oh, yeah.
The technology is here.
Yes, it is.
Not coming. Oh, when will it be? It's here. They're already chipping the driver's license. Your driver's license is chipped now. If you haven't gotten your new license, it's chipped. Credit cards are chipped. We're a step away, and we're already doing it.
Right.
Taking the mark. Or you will not be able to buy or sell. And this particular company, you won't be able to work for them. Unless you, is it Wisconsin? Yeah, you won't work for them unless You take that. So again, we're seeing the decay of our world. We see that it's happening. We see that everything Christ has said and everything the Word of God has taught us is coming to pass, is coming true. So why do you cast away the truth to embrace a lie? Why do they cast away Christ to embrace a murderer? But that's exactly what they did. The next point in your lesson says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, and trusts in, relies on me as Savior, will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior will never die. Do you believe this? Question mark. That's John 11, 25, 26. During this family's crisis, remember Lazarus, this is Lazarus. Lazarus had died. So during this family's crisis and sorrow, Jesus confronts them with the poignant question about their belief. If you do not hold to your belief during a crisis and through the tears, then what is it for? Again, we're talking serious. It is so easy for us to just drop Christ in a crisis. It's just human nature. You know, I don't fault you. I do the same thing. I mean, I'm working on it. You know, because it's just our nature. Is he the resurrection, the raiser of dead things, and the life for you? Question mark. Where do we place Christ in our day of crisis and sorrow? Do we hold him sacred over the tragedy as our Lord over all that lived, lives, and will live, even as we groan within ourselves? Or do we push him back into the recesses of our sadness, demoting him to human limitations? I'm just speaking truth. I'm just speaking what I have done, okay? I can talk about me as a human being. I know what we do. When we're sad, when we're angry, when we're upset, when we're disappointed, when we've had a loss, do we drop that bread right there and let me do it my way? Let me go deal with this. As they used to say back in my day, let me put my Holy Ghost on the shelf for a minute because I'm going to deal with this. That's what they used to say. And they would deal with it too. Because the Holy Ghost, they put on the shelf. But we don't want to do that. I'm telling you, when your heart is breaking, I tell you, embrace him. Mm-hmm. Hold to him. He taught me that in a tragedy in my life. He taught me. In the middle of a tragedy. And I was trying to run. I was trying to just leave me alone. And every place I went, here was the Word and God and everybody talking about Jesus overcoming. But I'm so glad he did that. He held to me. He held to me. And I thank God he held to me. And I finally just conceded, okay, Lord, here I am. My heart's in pieces, but here I am. So we have to ask ourselves, do we reach for his bread in the day of our sadness? And as I said, it's natural for humans to do this. We tend to reach for the physical things before the spiritual things in our sorrow. Oh, hallelujah, but this is why he sent his word. This is why he sent the bread of life, because we tend to reach for the physical things in our sorrow instead of the spiritual things. Because sorrow is a spiritual thing, guys. Pain, emotional pain, that is, you know, because your body's perfectly fine. The physical part of you is perfectly fine, but the soul and the spirit is in agony. So you need the things of the soul and the spirit to deal with that. No amount of chocolate cake is going to make it. No cheesecake is going to... I mean, it may take your mind off it for a minute. Hello, ladies. Pound cake. Yes, we have a pound cake. Yeah, pound cake. Pound cake won't even do it, Rose. I'm sorry. Just temporary. And then you come out of it, you got to step on the scale, Virginia. You got to step on the scale and then deal with that sadness. On top of the sadness, you got to deal with that sadness. Yeah, people do all kind of things, you know. They get high, they take drugs, they do all kinds of things. They drink alcohol, do all kinds of things. Get into relationships, not even relationships, just go for something. You know, to try to deal with that spiritual pain that only the eternal bread can deal with. And the enemy's right there. He wants you to go that route.
Oh, yeah.
You might as well do it. Make you feel better. Lie, 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 lie. You'll be even lower than where you were after you participate in certain things. The next one in your lesson says, the psalmist knew where to find his strength, his life. Through all that this world would throw at him, he declared, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge and fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? That's Psalm 27:1. And again, I just, again, love the heart of David. He had been through some things. He had been through some things. And this is what his declaration after all was said and done. He tasted the forbidden fruit. And he came, and this is his declaration. The Lord is my strength and my life. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. None of those things are going to satisfy. So I implore you, reach. You know, this world is full of sadness. It's full of tragedy. It's full of loss. But I'm telling you, reach. Reach for the bread. Reach for the bread on the table. Reach for his bread. Don't reach for all that other junk that Satan is offering. It'll make you sick. Sicker. Reach for the bread. The eternal bread of life. Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth. The real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:16. So finally, as we learn how to hold sacred his name, the bread of life, we must revisit John 14:16, where Jesus declares that he is not only the life, the bread of life that we're talking about, but also the way, and he is the truth. As we dine on his bread, we will come to know the way, and we will experience his truth, and this, beloved, is real life. Don't settle. I'm telling you, don't settle for counterfeits. Don't settle for quick fixes. I'm telling you, dine on the real bread. I'm telling you, it satisfies. It satisfies. It keeps you going. It'll take you to the end of your life and beyond into the eternal. You know, it's beautiful when an old saint is live their life, or when a believer is on their way transitioning out of this life. I've had an opportunity to see that a time or two, and it's just a beautiful thing sometimes. I remember this lady, and I told you this story before, this lady that was a missionary. Her and her husband was a missionary. Her husband was a doctor, and she was with her husband, and they were missionaries overseas, and while they were overseas, she was diagnosed with cancer, so they brought her back to the United States, and she was on our ward when we were doing rounds. And I remember, because her son was actually in our group, you know, and so that was the saddest thing. Here the son is doing rounds on his mom, who has cancer. And it was just the most interesting, but he was good. It was like, you know, I was trying to understand this family and why they had such peace, and why they were just so, you would go in her room and she would have praise and worship going. I mean, I know she was in incredible pain. You know, there was nothing that could be done. She was terminal, and you know, she would be having the praise and worship going and just in prayer, and you know, and we would feel, okay, we got to go see, you know, this lady. And we would go in, and you know, we would, her hearts would be heavy, and we would go in, and this lady would just be encouraging us. How are you all doing today? You know, God is good. And just, I'm like, oh my God. I mean, we go in there to give her some medicine, and she comes, she starts to give us some medicine. Spiritual medicine. And you know, and God did take that sweet lady home, and I never forgot her. I was like, man, God, when I go, I want to go like that. I want to go praising and worshiping your name, ready to transition. Hey, listen, you guys carry on. Don't, you know, it'll be sad for me. You all carry on. Here's my lessons. Take my lessons and somebody else get up and start teaching. And I'm just, you know, I'll see you when you get there, okay? That's where I want to go. You know, in peace and just knowing that, hey, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I kept the faith. Think about your husband right now. Just what a beautiful example he was to all of us. Just, you know, just transitioning. Hey, I'm done. Peace out. Okay. You know, I'm going on, you know. You know, like, so that's the way we want to leave here. Full of his bread. Full of his bread and ready to go on, you know, and see Jesus. So anyway, any comments, any questions?
Think of what you're saying about this lady. She saw the joy and the hope that was set before her.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said when he died, the joy and the hope to finish the race, to do what God had called him to do, what he's calling us to do. Mm-hmm. And one thing that you were saying, and I've been telling my wife, before I was moved by all the stuff that I'm seeing is happening and where I know it's in Revelation and in the scriptures. I said, man, I told my wife, they're under the power of Satan.
Yes.
Don't even know
yes.
it.
Don't even know
and
it.
We see it.
Don't even
we
know
it. We should be able to see it. We should not be, no longer be moved by all this stuff and get upset because of this, because we know who they're under.
Yes.
But we know who we under. And so what I love about you, because I said this to God, I said, I want to see what you see, hear what you hear, and now by the power of the Holy Spirit, now I understand. I understand Jesus now why you died on the cross for our sin, you defeated sin and death, and now I'm risen with you in heavenly places, so in him we're the head and not the tail.
Yes.
So what I love what you said, sister, is that you stay in the Word so much, so many people don't stay there long enough to stay there to come out of it. You come out of the prison, right? Come out of the bondage, come out of the sin. They don't stay there long enough for God to reach them. And one of the things that struck me when I was in sin, I wanted to love, I wanted all those things that only God can give me.
Wow.
So now I know that he was the only one that can give me the things that I really need. Yes.
Amen. He is. And I mean, if we could just get that. See, we don't believe that. Because, see, we're all into this.
Yeah.
See, we're all into making this this flesh feel good. That's what we're about.
Amen.
We were born that way. You know, wah, 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 feed me. Wah, 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 change me. That's how we came into the world.
Yeah.
You know,
Amen.
But as you grow up, you know, your spirit and your soul should start to take a leadership role in things. You don't cater to just the flesh. Oh, the spirit man should be rising up and leading things at some point.
Only one more thing I can say. Okay. I know I'm on the go, but fear. A lot of Christians, I hear a lot of people say, I said this to my wife, come on, Jesus, hurry up. I want to be resurrected. But why would I want to be resurrected so fast? Rapture. Well, rapture. When God wants me to carry out his will.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because if you want Jesus to hurry up in the rapture now, it's because of fear.
Yes. Yes, I'm telling you. And yes, we all want to go home, but I'm telling you, we stay because he asked us to, and that's our Lord. I'm going to get Virginia, then I'm going to swing around. Okay.
You know, sometimes I think of the seven churches.
Oh, yeah.
When Jesus said seven times at the end of the church, Jesus teaching. Do you hear? Let us hear this.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking to myself, we're listening, but do we hear?
Wow.
You know, we're listening. And somebody will ask me during the week, what did Sister Colvin teach on? And I need to ask the Lord immediately, you know, remind me, you know, because, again, it's spiritual, you know. But, and then another thing that she brought out was choice. Well, when you're not lost and out in the world and living like the devil and for the devil's things, you don't have a choice. Because he's got you so messed up, you don't even know you don't have a choice.
Wow. Yes, yes.
I mean, darkness is dark. and I'm talking about self here.
Yes.
You have everybody else as your God. Everybody,
yes.
You don't know that you don't have a choice.
Yes.
And you
yes.
think, how could you not know that? That's how messed up Hallelujah. A person could be.
Hallelujah.
That's how messed up a person
yes.
could be.
Yes. Yes.
And I just think, well, could it be low self-esteem, the way we were raised, a generational curse, all these things that come on us, and after you're saved, manna from heaven, oh, God lets you know, through the word,
yes,
where you were, where you're at,
yes.
and where you're going.
Yes.
But I think to myself, what a sad situation. That's why we have to have such a burden for the lost.
Yes.
Because yes. they don't know. They don't know. Mm-hmm. And I could mm-hmm. vouch for that.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for people that prayed. That's the only reason yes. I'm sitting here today, because there were people praying in my behalf.
Yeah.
And mercy, God have mercy on us. I just love him. He just is love him to death.
Yeah, I do.
Did you love him, Sister?
I do. Oh, he just touches
precious.
Me just in such a deep way.
Yes.
But what you were saying, Virginia, it is because the people that don't know, they've embraced a lie. You know, and that's the hard part. When someone embraces a lie, they can't see truth. And that's why we pray for Christ, the truth, to come and reveal. I pray that over people all the time. Lord, show them truth, Lord God, because they are embraced a lie. That's why people think they're things that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have certain lifestyles. People have certain lifestyles because they believe they're something that they're not. Because the enemy has lied and they've embraced the lie to the point that they don't know. They don't know that there's anything else because they believe this is who I am because they've embraced a lie. And that's why Jesus called Satan the father of lies. But he is the truth that comes to us.
I'll give you one hold. From Psalm 34:8 in the New Living Translation, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joy of those that take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need.
Amen.
You need something? Taste and see of the word of God.
Amen. 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 Let me run around to Rita real quick.
That exciting. I just showed you my
face. Oh my God, she wrote it.
Oh,
she wrote it down. I see it right there.
And it says, Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Holy Spirit
is
here.
It's the man that trusts in him.
That's right.
And I just have a testimony. 5 years ago, many know that I was diagnosed with cancer. I went to the doctor on Wednesday, and I was declared cancer-free.
Hallelujah. He is good and faithful.
The surgery and the treatments, all of that stuff, that was not an easy thing to go through. But at the same time, I think about that, and it seems like a dream. But, you know, you also shared the scripture that says he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine. Another version says what we think. Boy, and I do that a lot.
Yes, yes,
but
amen.
God's goodness, I like Virginia, I testify to, I love him. Not just love him, I am in love with him.
Amen. In love, in love, in love.
God is amazing.
Amen.
So awesome. It's always, you know, what's going on in the world right now, as we always talk about it, you know, the other side, it's like they're like demonized or something. I don't know what they call
yeah.
it. But it's just because Satan mm-hmm. is really
yes.
gathering
yes.
the soldiers of his soldiers
yes.
because his time is short.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always say, keep seeking God every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and don't worry about what's going on in the world, you know, just do his will.
Yeah.
The plan that he has for you, just do it.
Yes.
You know, and it's going to be a glorious day when
yes.
that comes. And we don't have
yes.
to worry about what's going on in the world.
Yes.
You know, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all his things will be added unto you. And it is automatic.
Amen.
We are the living testimony.
Amen. Amen. I can't wait to hear you all. You guys are going to tell me your testimony one day. But I'm telling you what you were just saying. You know, when you see, when you hear things on the news, folks, I challenge you. Yeah. Go into prayer.
Amen.
Don't go into, I can't believe, come you know, go into prayer.
Amen.
Because that's where you, why you're here. You're children of the living God. You can see the spiritual things.
Yes,
so go into prayer. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against people and seeing the people. You're wrestling against a spirit. And spirits that are causing people to do these horrible, horrendous things, Lord. So you gotta pray. You know, we gotta pray.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure if I should share this or not, but I want people to know that I'm not being negative or complaining, but I think you're talking about this chapter, I mean, at the end of this page where it says, you know, the deep healings and some things, there's no words for you to pray to God, Psalm 34:8. I was thinking that, you know, God does give it the desires of your heart, even if you have to wait a long time, because I've been asking God, you know, for Tony to come around and visit and all that, and it's been a long time. And yesterday we were riding, we had gone somewhere, and we were going home, and I saw in the car in front of us this kid in the back seat just looking real, and he was just real moving around and just real uncomfortable. And I'm talking about the turning lane, and it was a little Tony. I know it was him, and he looked, and you know, he didn't believe nothing. Nobody had trouble, and his dad was in the car next to the new car. But I could see that he's, you know, he's good, and he's happy, and
good.
He's not
good.
But he gets his eyes in the car, but I've been asking him to, you know, just let me see him somewhere. And yesterday I did. I saw him when we passed
Praise
by.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. See, God knows. God knows. He'll bless your heart, Margaret. I'll tell you.
I didn't get to talk to him about that time.
But that's all right. That's what you asked him for, and he let you see him.
Well, I have an anniversary, too.
Uh-huh.
41 years ago this month is when God was up here. Now he's down here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And there's been a lot of dangers, toils, and snares, but he hasn't let me down anywhere.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Happy anniversary, Virginia.
My birthday.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, so we're going to pray and close. Thank you for your comments. We're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for being the bread of life, Lord God. Father, bread that is not just something that is around us or in front of us, but bread that we can take into ourselves, Lord God, and we are changed and we are made different, Lord God. We are made more like you, Lord God, and we love being made more like you, Lord God, because sin, oh God, was horrible in us, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, that you came and lived in us, and your bread is just taking root and is growing and showing itself in our life, Lord God. I pray that you would remind us that the living bread is within us, Lord, as we interact in this world, Lord God. We see so many things. We see tragedies. We see all kind of things happening in the world. But, Lord, let us be reminded that we are the living bread that this world needs, Lord God, that we would pray, oh Lord, that we would call your Holy Spirit into the situation, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh Lord, that we would see that it would be better, oh Lord, because you have entered into the equation, Lord God. So Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you for this lesson, Lord God. And again, we pray that we digest it and we take it into ourselves and that it doesn't just roll off our back. Oh, Lord, but when we take in your word, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to dine at your table, Lord God. Even as so many tables are presented to us in this world, Lord, let us be faithful children. Faithful, Lord God, to your cause and to what you are doing in this world, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, the bread of life, we pray. Amen.
Amen.